You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch. Yes, no.
You can't stop it.
I gotta say that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here. Enjoy it.
It's ODG. Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Next message.
Seriously, guys. Fort.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out. You look so good right now.
Give me a chant you want to leave.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Got to go big. Really big.
Message erased.
To think about anything.
All right, welcome to Dave and Giggles. What's happening, buddy?
How you doing, buddy?
What's going on? Hold on.
Oh, jeez. I'm hearing some fluttering.
All good. What's going on?
You look good.
You look real good. You look real good.
For our listeners at home, if you're just tuning in, we are Dave and Giggles, and Dave's in New York, and I'm in Colorado.
That's true. That's
how this works.
We're still doing a show.
It's like a divorce that ended amicably. You know, like we're in two separate states.
Well, I mean, it's also like this was our baby, right? The show is our baby, so we have to maintain it and make it grow, right? So here we are.
Even though we don't pay attention to it.
Even though sometimes
about it,
we don't pay attention to it. Sometimes we neglect it. Sometimes we don't feed it or water it. We're still here and it's still going. So here we are, Dave and Giggles. What's going on? I haven't talked to you. We didn't do a show last week because of the Super Bowl, which was crazy Super Bowl. Who cares, I guess, right? Then Tuesday was my birthday.
No, happy birthday.
Ah, thanks, buddy. I think I got a text from you like a couple days later because your phone has been broken for how long?
For a week. I went a week without a phone.
How was that?
It was actually, you know, it was tough sometimes, but for the most part, it was refreshing. Like now I think I've got a new sort of found detachment from my phone. I only really use it when I need to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I don't even like checking Facebook anymore. I don't really even check Instagram. I'll sometimes check my email on it. But for the most part, it's not a distraction anymore. Like, you know, I think like having that week without it and just, I mean, I still look at it, you know, come on.
Obviously.
We're human.
How long do you think before you're back on the like checking it every 45 seconds?
I don't know. I'm not going to put a time on that.
I'm not going to put a time on it.
Now, I think like, you know, I'm going to enjoy the time away from it.
There you go.
Know? I only check my email if I have to.
That whole week you were without a phone. It was weird for me because, A, you weren't calling me every day in the middle of the day. So that was something that was weird. I wasn't used to. But then also you were posting like every other day on Facebook saying how awesome it was and how cool you were not to have a phone and being so detached. I got so many text messages saying, would Mike just shut up already about not having a phone?
I love getting off my soapbox.
You really do.
I'm so better than you. I'm better than you.
You really do like to get on your soapbox. It's really crazy for a guy who likes to call himself very humble, very like you know, and giving person. You really like to like tout the mic, the Giggles, whole thing.
Yeah,
you love
totally.
Man. So we should have an interesting show today. We'll see what happens. We got the guy from Indivisible who, might be calling us up in about 5-6 minutes.
Nice.
We'll see if that happens.
My kid wants to talk to you.
Hold on.
Let's see how this
goes. Put him on, I guess.
Here, come out to the microphone.
Oh boy.
There you go. All right.
Who's this? Is this, the little one?
Leo.
What's happening, buddy? What's going on, Leo? you're on the mic check. Mic check. 1-2, buddy. That's it. That's the end of that one. What's happening? All right, is that it? Is that all you got? Say hi, I'm Leo.
I think he's enthralled by it.
He's mic shy. Mic shy.
Yeah, he's mic shy.
Yeah.
Not like you. All right, done.
Like me.
Until Dave, bye.
Bye.
That was good. I mean, give him another year and he'll be talking up a storm on the radio. But right now,
totally.
He's a little shy. Next year, we'll get him going.
It's true. He's a smart kid. He's bright, you know?
He's a bright kid. He's a Bradley. He's got to be a smart kid.
He's got to be.
All right. So you could call in 718-928-9732. Once more, 718-928-9732. Give us a call. Let us know what's going on. Wish Dave a happy birthday. All things you should be doing.
Tell us to get off our soapbox.
Tell Mike to get off his soapbox, but that's I'm not going to say it. So I turned 38 this week.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. I made it to 38. I got a lot of... So what do you want to accomplish at 38? I hate that question.
So when you're getting married. When you're going to get a serious girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we have a call, I guess. Yellow.
Hi, this is Dylan. Dylan, what's happening?
Not too much. How are you guys doing?
All right. What's going on with you?
Not a lot, but we started talking. Actually, it was on Reddit, and I figured I would call in.
Yes, you're part of the Resist Every Day, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. So what's going on with Resist? So I put out a thing to be like, hey, I want to talk about the resistance as far as the whole Trump regime, call it that. And Dylan responded to me, and he's like, I'd love to come on and talk about it. And he runs the Resist Every Day subreddit, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
That's awesome. So it looked like you got quite a few followers on it, which is awesome. What's going on, in the thread right now? Like, what are you guys talking about? What's happening with it?
Yeah, so, we're actually, it looks like we're at 598 readers now, so
nice.
I'm getting close to 600, which is good. You know, there's, on Reddit, you know, it's like one of the major sites on the internet. There's,
front page of the internet.
Different.
Front page of the internet.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, there are so many different subreddits, specifically as far as resistance to the current administration goes, there are lots and lots of subreddits. But one thing I noticed that they don't really have, or at least they didn't until I created it, is a site that is not just articles, not just, you know, opinion pieces, but specific things you can do. Because many people are asking, what is it that I can do, right? What
right.
is it that I can get involved in, an organization, a donation? So the whole purpose of this subreddit was to say, at least on Reddit, you know, where is a place you can go and just pick something, find something to do and get involved?
Which is great. That's
yeah.
exactly what people need to be hearing right now, because like the news is so tough, because like you don't even know what to believe, what's fake, what's real, like what is just like opinion, what is just this or that.
Right.
Really, the hard facts are like, what can I do about it, and what kind of changes can I make as one individual? So what's happening in that realm, Dylan?
So it's kind of I would say it's to some extent it is a it's somewhat broad, so there are a number of different options. Actually, the inspiration was right after the election. I saw a number of people that that were creating websites that were something like, "Well, what can I do today?" It was you know, Resist Every Day wasn't really my idea.
Mm.
Others came up with the idea in different, you know, by different names. But basically, I figured Reddit was a good format for it. So a lot of it is encouraging people to call their elected representatives. We also have a sidebar with some organizations to support, including ACLU. That's been a big one. They got a huge surge in donations, probably you guys know.
Definitely.
Have on the sidebar a list of some upcoming marches, small actions, but also big actions like the March for Science, which is coming up on the 22nd.
So where are you based out of right now?
I'm in upstate New York.
Okay.
Albany.
Okay, so you're like right on the forefront of what's happening in New York, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, up here in the capital region.
So Dylan, I got to ask you, because I'm looking on it on the internet here. How do I get? Is it open to anybody? How do I find this? Like this group?
Yeah. I'm reddit.com/r/resistEveryday. You just get on and subscribe if you want to.
Yeah, if reddit.com/r/resistEveryday, or just do a search in Reddit for Resist Every Day, and it should come up like one of the first.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So that's awesome. So, what is the? We have the Science March coming up. What day is that?
That's going to be April 22nd.
April 22nd. That is that correlating with the Earth Day one as well, or?
Yep. That was exactly the idea.
Oh, cool. All right. So
what
happened? It was my birthday week, so there was a lot of like, I don't want to look at the news, I don't want to be upset. Tell me what's going on like in the past couple days that we can really sink our teeth into and be like, oh, let's resist this.
Okay, let's see. Well, there is the Trump administration has had so many confirmations, and honestly, I've had a little trouble keeping track of it all myself.
Sure.
Running the subreddit, I have trouble. It's just a fire hose of information. Betsy DeVos was confirmed. recently, which has pretty much everybody who's for public education up in arms.
Pretty upset. pretty upset.
Yeah, so, you know, there's, you know, you can call your representatives about that since the confirmation happened. You know, resisting the confirmation is not really an option, but, you know, some of the actions the administration might take with DeVos as the head of the DOE, that's something that you can, you know, talk to your representatives about, because it really does, you know, it seems to work.
People. It definitely seems like it's working as far as like grassroots and making like, and I mean, they're getting like record number calls and all the, and that, which is really interesting, because like when it first happened, when Donald Trump got elected, I was like, this is literally the worst thing that could happen. It's just literally the worst thing that could happen for America.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of like, I was talking to someone the other night on my birthday, so I was pretty drunk. So don't mind me if it goes off on a tangent, but I was talking to someone the other night and they were like, this actually, when it could be one of the greatest things that has ever happened to America, because it's going to put democracy to a test, and it's going to make everyone stand up and like come out of this fog that we've been in for so long and not caring about politics. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of awakening so many people who just didn't care before. Mm-hmm. So perhaps it could be one of the greatest things that's ever happened to America and democracy, and you know, as a whole. It just took the worst person to get there. You know, like that is crazy to me, but it might possibly be the way it's going. Yeah. So, Dylan, what kind of feedback are you getting from the site? Is anybody reaching out to you and saying anything?
I've been encouraged. You know, at the very beginning, it was pretty much just me posting. I was just starting to, you know, because you kind of have to get the ball rolling, generate some content, put some links up before you have something that will draw other people.
Sure.
But at this point, I would say most of the posts are not me. Other people are posting. It's not so much that there's a lot of comments or feedback. It's just that people are clearly using the subreddit now.
Mm.
And they're upvoting each other's stuff. I think the day of the Muslim ban, when we had some detainees at some of the airports, including JFK, I think I put that up and it got about 80, 90 upvotes. So clearly people were paying attention. Hopefully some people saw it and headed down to JFK.
I think
positive.
They were turning people away, so I'm assuming it probably did work to some degree.
Yeah. But in general, you know, I think we're trying to sort of keep it on message, you know, make sure that people are sticking to the concrete action type
and not putting up things that are more opinion based and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had to turn anyone and be like, listen, you can't post that here?
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of stuff did you get?
The trouble is, you know, Reddit is, and actually most social media or, you know, sites where you would post these sorts of things, you know, they attract a lot of, like, memes and things like that.
Sure.
And I'm sort of trying to keep, you know, to say, you know, other subreddits, if you want to post memes and that sort of thing, you can do that. But the real goal is to really make this, you know, because people talk about slacktivism. You know, the internet is not, just clicking on things on the internet is not really action. So we want to make this about action.
Right. I like it. So you can go to reddit.com. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, keep up the good work. Seems like he's doing something. You know,
he's doing something.
Action.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's doing something.
Yeah.
You can't just sit on your hands. You got to, I think a lot of people are like, what can I do?
Yeah.
What you know?
Well, so, being a, one more question. Being kind of like liaison to kind of sculpting your Reddit site for what news gets put up or whatever it's going to be, where do you go for like the most reliable news?
Let's see. Well, it's a good question. I would say Reddit itself. I mean, it is a news aggregator, so if you follow the right subreddits, you can find some good stuff. I think Al Jazeera is reasonably good. Democracy Now! Is reasonably good. Sometimes you want to go straight to, you know, for information on what the government is doing, you can go to places like GovTrack.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of straight from the source, you know?
Sure.
Um,
That's a very good
one. There are a lot of options. I'd say, I mean, the best I can say is it's not individual sources. It's sort of having an ability to look at a variety of sources and sort of, you know, tease out the good information. It's hard to do. It takes a lot of time, you know?
Yeah, it definitely does. And it's just like, I think one of the worst places for it is possibly like Facebook, because it's just like this riddled, and which is like the saddest thing, because most of like probably like above 40, above 50, that's where they're getting their news. And it's just, that's why someone like Donald Trump gets elected, because it's just scattered with horribly fake news. Like if you asked anyone who voted for Trump, who's over 50, not anyone, of course, but the majority, if like, why didn't they vote for Hillary, they would probably spew back some fake news thing that has, you know, no fact to it whatsoever. So it's just like, and that's probably where the whole Russian thing came into play, where they were just probably creating these things and spreading them in America. It goes so deep and it's so troubling, Dylan. Tell me there's some hope. Give me some hope.
I think there's some hope. I think what's happening is, you know, I mean, part of what my whole thing is with this, and I'm trying to find ways that we can sort of build an infrastructure, you know, because that's what we need, is we need to build, you know, get people organized. And I think people are figuring out slowly how to do that, to organize resistance, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I think what I would say as a sort of a parting remark is, you know, people ought to call their representatives and do that sort of like nationally organized stuff, but they should also just try to find local groups, you know, get something local started, get people organized, because that's kind of how we're going to win.
I like it. Grassroots. All right, Dylan. Yep. Well, keep back. Let us know what's up. I'm always on there, so I'll keep a track on how many people are starting to follow, and call back again. Let us know what's going on.
Absolutely. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep. Bye.
Later.
Good caller.
Good caller.
Good caller.
That was good. That was actually, you know, for a second there, I thought it was Dylan.
I know,
Dylan.
Me too. I thought it was Dylan.
I was like, what is he calling it for?
I know. I really thought it was Dylan. I was like, oh, it's Oh, no, this doesn't sound like Dylan.
Different Dylan. Different
he said
Dylan.
He was going to be here today. I think that's it. I think he's pulled done. The cord. Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Dave and Giggles. We aren't a politics show, but something happened on November 9th or 8th, whatever it was.
That's the day Donald Trump told you to go vote.
Yeah, totally.
Ugh.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's really terrible. I mean, I've become so addicted to reading the news and reading like just everything that comes out. The amount of leaks that are coming out of the White House is like astounding.
Yeah,
and they're calling it the biggest leaked White House that's ever existed. Like I feel like every day is something new that has hit a historical record. Like his popularity, his or lack of popularity record. You know, like what he said about, you know, the Muslim ban record. No one has done this before. Every day it's something new, and it's a record that a president has never done before.
You know what the phrase I like? In college, this guy, and he was cast in a role that he really wasn't right for, and one of his friends said, "Tragically miscast," which kind of like when I think about it, you know, you got to laugh a little bit. You kind of got
you do.
Something.
You do.
And I always just think of that. He was tragically miscast.
Yeah,
you know, the wrong person.
That's
the
a good
job.
Term for it.
He doesn't know what he's doing, and he's just messing it up. Yes. You know, and It's bad. It's the one, like,
ugh.
Oh, man.
Speaking of tragically miscast, where's Brandon Schaefer?
I don't know. He's hanging. Well, his cat died, dude.
That sucks. Yeah. Wait, where's his cat? Was it staying with somebody?
His cat was staying with his parents, I think.
Oh, so, man. I think that might be the worst thing ever. It's like when you're taking care of someone else's animal and it dies on your watch.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything worse. Maybe a kid dying on your watch when it's not yours, but a pet is really bad. How did he take it? Did you talk to him?
I haven't talked to him yet, but I don't think it's, you know, I mean, it's just his pet. How do I know? Why are you asking me this? I'm not talking to you guys. I'm not talking about the guy's cat.
Well, tell
That's
him to
what
call
we're talking
in.
About
tell
now.
Tell him to call in.
We got a light. I did tell him to call in. I don't know if he's.
I want to hear about his cat.
I don't think he wants to talk about his cat.
So what's been going on this week? I haven't talked to you. You didn't have a phone. You sidebarred me. What's going on? What has been going on?
I didn't have a phone. I did something nice for some people.
Is this the
really
thing you posted to Facebook
about?
Is this the thing you put up? All right, tell me.
So I do this every once in a while, but I bought coffee for the teachers.
Yeah.
When I pick up my kid from the car pickup line, it's always nice. A couple weeks ago, I had some Krispy Kreme donuts. And then this week, in a sort of a Betsy DeVos consolation prize, I had 8 cups of coffee.
You bought 8 cups of coffee?
It was McDonald's coffee. It was only a dollar.
Oh, so it's only a buck. So $8 you spent on the teachers.
Yeah. So, okay. I think that was my sort of I'm not patting myself on the back, but that was I am a little bit. But that was my, act locally sort of thing. I was like, you know what? I can show these teachers that I appreciate them, that I think they're doing a good job, and make them, and then it turns out, I guess a kid went to the hospital that day.
Because of you? Because of you?
No.
They're allergic to coffee. It smelled up the entire room and they had a panic freak attack.
The coffee was poisoned. The kid went to the hospital. The whole school shut down.
Why did the kid go to the hospital?
I think he had the flu or something. Ambulance was called. No. So, but anyway, as I was in the pickup line, the director said, hey, just so you know, if, Leo asks about this, there was an ambulance came to school today. A lot of the kids saw it. And I was like, oh, thanks for letting me know. It's nice knowing what happens at my kid's school. And then I was like, all right, well, then here's some coffee. So it was, it was nice to show up with something, I'm sure they had a tough day.
Sure.
Is
there any kind of website you can go on to that keeps the parents informed as to what's happening?
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure there's something in there.
You just don't know.
The school every day, so I know what's happening. I know, I know everybody by name.
You're such a stay-at-home mom.
I am.
You're, getting up in everyone's business being like, he didn't bring coffee. She didn't bring coffee. Look at the sweater she's wearing. That's great.
Totally.
That's great.
Totally.
So have you talked to any of the teachers and are you close enough with any of them where you can, ask them how they feel about Betsy?
I haven't. I wanted to. I kind of know their opinion. I kind of know their feelings on it. And then I also think that once, sort of the car pickup line is that sort of time when once the kids are gone in the car pickup line, then they can go have a lunch. They can go take break. I'm not going to get them all heated up. I've sort of tried to practice a little bit of finesse with people now in conversations.
That's good.
Where
it took you long
enough.
If I
know they don't want to talk about it, it's not the right time. Don't push it,
That's pretty good. So one of my my cousin's kid, who's early 20s, she got married not that long ago. She's a teacher, and she's one of those girls. She's sweetheart. I love her. She's my cousin, but she's a girl who loves to have her head in the clouds and doesn't care about politics. Doesn't care about the politics of anything. Probably didn't vote.
Did she vote?
I didn't ask her. I should ask her next time. But I'm assuming she didn't vote. And then for the longest time, all she did was post pictures of her wedding, post pictures of her ring, post pictures of whatever the wedding related thing that was whatever.
So self-involved.
There was never anything. There's never anything about politics. And then finally the other day she put something about a pro teacher thing. And it wasn't even it was right around when Betsy got set in and she put in a pro teacher's thing. And I was like, you gotta stand up and take more of an active role in this, if I were a teacher, I would be pissed. I would be outraged. I'm already outraged. I'm choking on my own spit here, but I'm already outraged. And in the end, most of the things that Donald Trump wants to get rid of or enact doesn't affect me at all. I'm a white guy living in New York City. Gay rights doesn't affect me. All these things that he wants to put in effect. Muslim ban doesn't affect me, but I am so outraged by all the things that don't even affect me that I am angry about. If one of these things did affect me, for the most part, I'm sure they will, but I would be, if I were a teacher, I'd be so angry. I'd be so furious. I just don't understand why people...
He's gonna take away your Tinder.
He will take
that'll
away.
That'll affect you.
I know,
he
right?
Take away your Tinder, ugh, then
that'll be the
you.
End of it.
Hey, good news. Let's talk about
all
some
right.
good things
all
here.
Right.
Deb's parents celebrated a 68-year anniversary?
68-year anniversary, yeah.
Old as shit, these people.
Yeah.
But great, great parents, you know, still kicking, still driving.
Yeah. That was really sweet. She put up a picture of them. They kind of look like all in the family behind the piano. Where is she? I have not talked to her recently. She get her on the show. Call her up.
I don't have her phone number because I got a new phone, so all my phone numbers are.
What happened to your old phone?
The other thing, it's a story we'll get into later, but we should get into it. It's a good story.
All right.
But no, I broke it. Unbeknownst to me.
What do you mean, unbeknownst to you?
There was an hour of time where I just didn't know what happened, and so my phone broke. And I ended up blacked out. A city bus heading east towards home. It wasn't a good, night. One of those nights that I was like, "Whoa, this hasn't happened to me in 15 years," and here I am on a city bus.
Wait, were you trashed?
A little bit.
Wait, what? Well, tell me. Give back up. Let's hear about what's going on. Why are you drunk with two kids and a wife at home? What is going on?
It was at night, and the next day, you know, Julie was off of work, so it was, you know. I didn't plan on getting drunk.
It was both of you getting drunk?
No. Schaefer's dad met up with me because he was in town and he started buying me drinks.
So weird.
And
you go out with so many of your friends' dads. It's unbelievable. I've never met a person. That day where we went out with your ex's dad and just like drank until we got smashed. Like, I don't get it.
Barry?
Yeah. That was great. We drank a ton that night, but we go out with so many of your friends' dads. It's remarkable.
Because I'm friends with them. You know, I sort of, you know, and maybe, who knows? Maybe I look for the father figure. Maybe
you
I'm
do.
Like, you know,
you do need that father figure.
Can I just pretend you're my dad for a little bit? say that, and it gets real awkward.
You've been doing that with me for like 10 years now.
It's true.
And I'll never be your dad. I'll never be your dad. Man. All right. So you go out, you get drunk with someone else's dad.
Yeah.
Did you ask him any fatherly advice? Did you go down that road?
No, I don't think so.
What do you talk about with someone else's dad? I'm listening.
Listen to me. He was buying the drink. If I'm buying the drinks, I don't get trash because I don't have a lot of money. So I only have like a couple drinks. But if somebody else is buying drinks and you're kind of like, oh, yeah, sure. And then you're like, oh, I don't drink like this. You know what I'm saying? Like it sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
And so there was just an hour, maybe an hour and a half of time that I don't really remember what happened. I just – because he texted me the other day. He's like, hey, so remember when we got nachos? And I was like, no. I don't remember the nachos.
I don't remember the nachos.
But like there was a period of time where like, you know –
man, you must have been trashed. I haven't seen you that drunk in ages.
Well, that's – I don't get like that. No. And like and I wasn't – this is not like – I'm not proud of this story. I don't want my kids hearing this story.
A little bit.
It's not a great time. You know, it's not a great story. It's not like something I'm proud of. And I was like, shit, man, I can't be doing this anytime.
I would ask you a question. What is one story you never want your kids to hear? What are you most ashamed of to tell your children?
What kind of question is that?
It's a good question. I mean, I was probably there for it, so it affected me too. But I just want to know, like, as a father, what is the most, like, shame you could bring upon telling your children this story?
I'm not going to tell my kids a shameful story. I mean, I did stupid stuff as a kid.
I know.
I try to teach my kids now, like, growing up and sort of their exposure to the world, their eyes to the world. I try to lead them in a sort of different way than I was sort of raised, or not the different, but just kind of like the stupid shit that I did as a kid, kind of like, all right, this is why you don't do that.
Like what? You know? What did you do as a kid that was so bad in Florida? I mean, what did you have to do in Florida that was so bad?
It wasn't, but we caused like property damage and stuff like that.
That's what kids do though. There's no way around it.
But like now I feel like kids would get killed. Do you know, like, I mean, listen,
how many times were you almost killed as a kid? Were you never like in a situation where like, holy shit, I almost died?
All right, stupidest thing I can remember doing as a kid. This is pretty stupid because it took me a minute. Can you tell me the most shameful thing?
I know, it's pretty good.
I'm not going to tell you the most shameful thing I've ever done, you son of a bitch.
It's pretty good.
But what's that?
That's pretty good.
It was pretty good. No, but when I was in sixth or seventh grade, I think we were coming back from recess.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to impress this girl. You know, you always do stupid shit to impress girls.
You do. You know? I know.
So I was trying to do this stupid shit. And we're walking across the, you know, the street back to the school from the recess playground. And for some stupid reason, I was like, oh, let me lay down in the middle of the street and see if a car stops and freaks out or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I like lay down in the street, and this car comes and like slams on the brakes.
Oh shit!
And here now I have the hindsight to be like, that was stupid.
That was
I could
dumb.
Have been paralyzed.
That was
I could
dumb.
Have been killed. But this car slams on the brakes, and you know, like I think a couple of my friends were like, that was you know pretty funny, Mike. Blah blah blah. I get up, go back to class. A few minutes later, this lady comes to the door with the principal and is like looking, and is like that one. And points right at me.
It was that douchebag over there.
That douchebag.
So wait, did the person who had the slam on their brakes, did they go and tell? Or was it one of the other girls in school?
Oh, no. The parent that was in the car, you know, whoever it was, you know, was like, what the? This asshole? Like, I could have ran over a kid. Can you imagine?
Oh,
like,
be
you
so
don't
terrible.
Think of that stupid stuff.
I know.
But, like, can you imagine just running
boom,
over
boom,
a kid?
Boom, boom, boom. Oh, shit. I just hit a kid. Oh,
it wasn't
so
even
bad.
It wasn't even like her fault. Like I was the idiot that was laid down in the road.
You were the
That's
idiot.
Stupid.
Ah, God. Kids are so stupid.
That was so stupid.
All right,
tell me one.
I know. Before
one.
I tell you what, some of the things I did. I want if you want to call up and tell us the stupidest thing you ever did as a kid. 718-928-9732. Call up and tell us the stupidest thing you ever did. Giggles would lay in the middle of the road and almost get run over. Which, in essence, like, we've all done that. It's fine. I did a lot of stupid shit. We used to... we lived on a road that was, like, really, really not driven on a lot. And we would, like, wait all night. And, like, it would just always... Every night got progressively worse and worse and worse. Like, it would start out where, like, if a car was coming, we'd all moon them, you know? And, like, that was innocent. And then we started getting our hands on, like, different things. So it eventually led to, we were like,
fireworks.
All right, fireworks. So it eventually led to one of the worst where I felt like pretty much the worst thing we did to these people. We would pull a large branch into the middle of the road. And when a car would drive by, they wouldn't be able to get past this said large branch. So they had to get out of their car and take the branch and put it back in the woods. And as they got out of the car and started, like, going towards the branch, we would shoot bottle rockets off at them.
Oh, my God.
And it
sounds awesome at the time.
I know. It was great. It was great. And we would shoot these bottle rockets off, and they would freak the fuck out. And they would start chasing us. I remember one point, this guy was so mad. He was so mad. He chased us, and I remember, like, running as fast as I could, and I saw a car, and I got underneath it, and I heard the guy coming up running, and he's like, when I find you motherfuckers, I'm gonna fucking kill you. And I was like, shitting my pants. I was like, we're gonna die. We're going to die. This is it. I am done. It's so terrible. Yeah, so that was one thing. Then there was
I like to think of a statute of limitations. Whenever I tell a story, I'm like, can I still get arrested for this?
Nah.
Has this been long enough?
Nah. You can't get arrested for it. It's all good.
I think boys do. I mean, I was going to say girls do stupid stuff and then they, you know. But guys do stupid stuff and, like, you know.
Right. I think the difference is you have guys who just want to impress the other guys. That's what you do when you're a little boy. You want to impress all the other guys. So you do stupid shit and you get in stupid trouble. Girls, they all, like, pine to be, like, the leader of the group, so it's always, like, this mean girl thing. So it's, like, putting down
the
other girls. What?
I don't know if this is really true or not, if this really happened, but I know what happened up until the point. It's like, my friends and I would do fishing line across the road when we were, you know, seventh grade. So I think I remember
decapitating somebody?
What's that?
Decapitating somebody on a motorcycle?
Maybe. Oh, God. Can you imagine if somebody was to be like, listen, I listened to your show, and that time that was when my brother got killed because you idiots put fishing line in the woods.
Did you just leave it there?
Oh, God. No. Well, we lived in this, like, back, you know, sort of like for a year when my parents were getting divorced. We lived in these sort of, like, you know, the boonies almost. And then there was, like, woods. Not, I don't say boonies, but there was just woods to play in, which was great. But this one trail, we took all this fishing line and wrapped it around the trees and basically made a net. And it was me and this kid, Preston. Oh, and then Preston. A couple days later, I went to go play with Preston at his house, and his mom was like, "Hey, you know, you boys, some guy was on his dirt bike riding through the woods and got caught up in your fishing line and got really hurt." It could have happened, probably, you know.
Jeez.
But like, as a second grader or third grader, I was like, "What?" Or was it fourth grade?
Yeah.
Who knows? Stupid shit.
I remember starting.
Now I feel like people would kill kids now if they, you know, caught them doing something like that.
Oh yeah, totally. They'd be pissed. I feel like it would be I think that's the one thing about people talk about the differences in then and now. Like, kids still do the same stupid shit. Kids still get in the same amount of trouble. And I don't think there's much of a difference of like now and then, except that like now we have more of helicopter parents who are always on top of the kids, which I don't know if it's better or worse, but like in the end, is being a helicopter parent good for the kid where when they do finally get away, they're going to go absolutely batshit crazy? Like when you were a kid, you got to do all these little stupid things and you got to learn a lot of stupid little lessons, you know? And that was good, I think. So when you have these helicopter parents, will it be in the end worse because they haven't had all those little encounters to get in trouble and learn their lessons?
Who knows?
Good question. I remember lesson I learned about fire.
Oh, jeez.
That we started as fire and it got out of control. And it started to grow and grow and grow and grow. And there was about a house 10 feet away.
Oh, shit.
And it was like a neighbor's house, and it started growing, and there was a rock wall there. If that rock wall wasn't there, that house would have been up in flames, would have been done. Everything was gone.
Everything.
Remember, like, at first, we tried to, like, everyone pee on it. That didn't work. No. Then I was like, go home and get the hose and bring it up. And it like almost reached, but it couldn't quite get there. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I was like, we need buckets. We need something to put this shit out. Yeah. And like, even like for some reason, the dumb luck of not having a car drive by during that time and see these idiot kids starting a fire and then trying to put it out, we would have been so fucked. We would have been so in trouble. It would have been terrible.
Yeah.
But dumb
luck. You'd have gone to juvie.
We could have gone to juvie.
You know, I wonder if, like, I've thought about this. It's like if on the evolutionary scale, like, you know, we love to play with fire. We love to, like, you know, sort of hurt and kind of, like, you know, do stupid stuff and explore. And if there's just not space for kids to do that nowadays.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
So that's why it seems like a big deal when a kid spray paints something or defaces property or, like, they're just like, I just need to break something. I just need to, like, you know, I'm trapped. There's no woods. There's no jungle. You know, you don't have to like, you know, I see people in the supermarket all the time and I'm like, you guys didn't have to hunt for this food. Yeah. You didn't have to hunt for those donuts.
Nope.
You know, there's no sort of challenge anymore. I mean, the challenge is hunting for a paycheck. As far as like the physical activity and the risk involved with like catching food and like, you know, preparing for your tribe. I don't know. I think we need to go back. We may. Over these next 4 years, go back to a sort of tribal system.
It's true. We may go back. We may go back to a very. Oh, that would be really terrible. I mean, the only thing that'll make that happen is if someone eventually does drop a bomb. And
get this,
all right.
North Korea, I guess, did a missile test. You know, they're always doing stupid shit.
Sure,
but I guess they did a missile test, and I think it's like, who's gonna? I think they're all calling and be like, who's gonna pick the fight with this guy first? Who's going to like really piss Trump off to get him to do something, you know? Like,
very true.
They're all like, oh man, you know, because all it's going to take is one little thing for him to just, oh man.
It's terrible. All right. We have a guest on calling in, Pete.
Yes. Hi.
Pete, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How are you?
Not bad. So Pete is a law student at NYU and he founded Indivisible Brooklyn a few weeks ago. They've had a bunch of meetings. They got over 100 members in the group. I had him call in. I emailed him a while ago, and I told him set up this day to call in. And really, I just want to find out what's going on with Indivisible, especially in Brooklyn. So welcome, Pete.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
Things are exciting. So Indivisible, as you probably know, hopefully many of your listeners know, and I'm sure other people are just learning this, is a national movement. It started I guess in December, some former Democratic congressional staffers put together this guide about how we citizens can effectively lobby our elected officials. They named it Indivisible. They put it on the internet. It took off. And people like me, just regular people, found the guide, found it compelling, found it promising, and followed its model, starting up local groups. So all I did was I made a new Gmail address. I claimed a name. I registered the group in the directory on the Indivisible Guide website and registered it with my local zip code. I mentioned it to some friends of mine. I posted about it on Facebook. And then people also started reaching out through the directory. So strangers started contacting me through that. We had our first meeting, I guess it would have been 2 weeks ago now, 2.5 weeks ago. We had 30 people there, obviously all new because we were brand new.
Right.
I kicked off the meeting saying, I've never done this before. I don't know what this is. We are all living in a new moment in our lives, a new moment in world history. So let's figure out together what this is going to look like. We had enough interest right off the bat that we had another meeting for a whole new batch of new people a few days after that.
Damn.
A third meeting for new folks within a week. So we welcomed almost 100 people into the group within our first week of existence.
That's great.
And pretty quickly formed working groups to actually get things done, so we wouldn't have 100 people all trying to do the same thing. And so our group took the Indivisible Guide model and decided to apply it not just at the federal level, which is what the guide is specifically about, but also because we're here in New York, we're almost entirely Brooklyn residents. We have some folks from Manhattan who have been working with us. You know, we're represented by Democrats, and so it's a different kind of work to be done when your elected officials are Democrats and when they're Republicans.
Right.
Since we are entirely represented by Democrats, it's not that we don't have work to do. In fact, we have a lot of work to do, and New Yorkers have, I would consider it a privilege to be represented by Senator Schumer, who's the Senate Minority Leader, and for at least the next 2 years, probably the next 4 years, maybe
hopefully
beyond.
Hopefully.
The most, well, yeah, no, I was going to say he's going to be the most powerful Democrat in the country for the next couple of years. So
how do you feel about Pelosi right now?
I haven't been following too much from her recently. Is there something in particular that?
No, I find her like, I mean, she was great for her time. I just feel like she's kind of got that, like, we just need that new blood, and she's kind of that the image of that old blood where it's just like she maybe doesn't totally get that new wave type feel. But I don't know enough to say about it. But I do want to talk about the Indivisible. I didn't mean to sidetrack there.
Sure.
Can you give us like a rundown of like the people who haven't heard of it? Like what exactly in there are you like focusing on? And stuff like that.
So what struck me originally and what continues to inspire me as we get started in the work is that it's really just about tactics. It doesn't lay out anything in particular about policy. Obviously, the reason it's taking off is because it's explicitly about standing in the way of the Trump agenda, and the people who find it and get into it want the same. But beyond that, there are no policy prescriptions. What it is here's how you as a citizen, as a small group of citizens, I mean, the guide makes clear as few as 10 people, 10 neighbors can become a real thorn in the side of their members of Congress if they act smartly and if they act together. And so for us, what it's about is coordinating our action and planning actions that'll have maximum impact. Not that we're only going to do things that are hugely impactful. We're going to try to be consistent for the next few years pretty regularly. But the idea is that a combination of phone calls and showing up in person, you know, occasionally writing letters if you can't get through otherwise, but really making clear that you are living, breathing people who are paying attention to them and care about what they're working on and are not going to go away if they aren't representing you.
Totally. The one thing that I find really interesting about the Indivisible Guide is that it's kind of founded in the tactics of the Tea Party and kind of giving that grassroots, like, listen, if we're not going to be able to affect like what's happening federally or like in a huge grand scheme of things, let's make sure that the people locally know that we're here and know that we have a voice and know that we're angry as shit.
basically. And so, like, that Tea Party mentality has really, like, branched out to the Democrats, who are very a minority right now and need that voice.
So I have no problem calling this a Tea Party of the left. I don't think that's an insult, and I don't think that's diminishing what we're doing. I think it's more than fine to take inspiration from, you know, the work of people in the past who didn't share your goals, but did things that you're learning from and building on. It's not just, however, about expressing anger. It really is about being effective. And so if you think back to, and this is, you know, ancient history now, but summer 2009, that was the first, it was about 6 months into President Obama's first term.
Right.
There was a real push from the Democrats to pass a universal health care bill, law, and there were different ideas on the table. There was a, you know, the possibility we were going to get a single payer Medicare for all, or Medicaid for all,
makes sense.
Law nationwide.
Makes sense.
Then there were proposals to the right of Obamacare, and Obamacare was something of a compromise. And while this was all under discussion, you had this right wing mobilization that was partly grassroots and partly orchestrated by some national groups. And so when I hear Tea Party of the Left, for me, what it is remembering how effective that was,
right,
and remembering as someone who was deeply invested in the push for universal health care and the push for more progressive policies, seeing these people who held different positions from me stand up as an incredibly strong force and not entirely get what they wanted,
right,
but get a lot of what they wanted. And I say, great, let's do the same thing. I mean, that,
yeah,
if we had to lose then, let's make sure we win now. Let's make sure we do
exactly
either what they did or something else to have the same impact they
right
had.
I was watching something recently today, and it was talking about, you know, the similarities and differences of the Tea Party and this kind of indivisible guide. And the interesting thing was the Tea Party kind of had like around 20% approval rating in the nation. And the Indivisible Guide kind of idea, not so much the name Indivisible Guide, but like the idea of like this kind of approach that we're doing here has like almost a 60%. They were saying it was like around a 60% approval rating, which is phenomenal. And it's like, it's just shows like how, you know, progress or like political everyone is really getting.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add another thing it shows, and this is something I don't really take pleasure in, but our president is phenomenally unpopular, and
right,
you know, that's good for those of us who want his agenda not to be enacted.
Tragically miscast is what somebody said.
Right, and there's, what was that?
Tragically miscast, my co-host once said. I don't know where he went.
Tragedies, I mean, it's a tragedy that we are, 3 weeks into his presidency, and those of us who for a year, thought that a Trump presidency would be a disaster are so far being vindicated.
Right,
and have
exactly
to live through almost 4 more years of this. So when
yeah
I hear that there's 60% approval, I'm thrilled to hear that. It doesn't surprise me, because what that means is, you know, as we're seeing, 40% of the country generally supports the president, and the other 60% doesn't. And
right,
so they're rallying around this and similar efforts.
Right. So what we have 5 minutes left. I want to get you in, though. We talked about having you come in. We'll definitely have you come in soon. But what can we expect going to one of you guys' meetings? Like, what happens there?
So we've had a few different kinds of meetings. Our first meetings were just welcoming new people in a very free-form way. Mm-hmm. I mentioned we had these few different meetings, about 30 people each. We've since moved away from those because now there's nothing really to be gained from having 30 new people just meet each other when there's already a
right,
you know, an existing whole bunch of people doing work. So today, I was mentioning earlier, we have these various teams doing work. So one of the teams is focusing at the federal level, another team at the New York State level, and the last team at the New York City level. And these teams are just organizing groups. So the whole group, as in everyone in Indivisible Brooklyn, is in communication with each other and are going to be working together, showing up to events, making phone calls, all that stuff. But there's a specialization within the group where certain people say, I want to be involved in gathering information about and, you know, coordinating actions focused on, you know, our U.S. senators, Senator Schumer, Senator Gillibrand, our members of Congress. Then another group saying, let's do the same thing, but I want to focus on the New York State Senate, the New York State Assembly, Governor Cuomo. And so what that allows us to do is have everyone bite off a chunk of the necessary organization work that will go into our big picture work, mm-hmm. and then everyone else can just basically follow along. So today, for example, our federal team met for a few hours, had about 20 people there, a really productive meeting. On Wednesday, our state team is meeting, same thing, just planning, like everyone figuring out what's been done so far, what information they have, what information they need, what's coming up, what next actions they all want to take. And then the city team, I'm pretty sure, is meeting Thursday. So now, like, if someone wants to get involved, if someone listening right now wants to get involved, what they should do is email indivisiblebrooklyn@gmail.com. I will be the one responding to that, or I or, one, or someone else in the group, and we'll let them know about the next upcoming meetings. People can jump into a meeting, just show up, you know, for the first time at a meeting.
Where are the meetings?
People are, they're all over. Okay. You know, we're, it's all, you know, this is scrappy, right? We're not a,
sure.
an official organization. We're just people coming together. So we held our first few meetings at a nonprofit office in Crown Heights. Just last night we had basically just a social event for more people to meet each other at Bergen in Crown Heights. The upcoming meetings, I think, are just at apartments of people in the group. So as we grow, we're going to need bigger spaces. You know, if we have 15 or 20 people showing up at a meeting, that can be in an apartment or an office.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Pete. Pete from Indivisible Guide, thank you for calling in. And here, I'm going to ask you one last question. We got a couple minutes. One last question. Mm-hmm. What can one person sitting in a radio show in Brooklyn mm-hmm. do right now? What
one
is your
person,
thing?
I think each one of us can be tremendously impactful by taking some action. Whatever action feels right, whatever action is an actual physical action in the world, and making that visible in some way. So for me, what's been most powerful about the experience of the activism that I've been involved with for the last few weeks is seeing the feedback I've gotten from other people saying, I saw you do X, and I saw you share that you did X, and I'm now doing it too. So just the other day, friends of mine showed up, different friends showed up at town halls for their elected officials in Salt Lake City, Utah, Los Angeles, San Antonio, Texas. And it's not just because of me, but it was partly, you know, they were seeing people like me doing a thing, right? Starting a group, having one meeting, and there's this butterfly effect. So I would say anyone listening, if you don't know what you can do, email a few friends, text your friends, have a group of people over for dinner where you, as simple as write letters, but then share that. You know, you can post it on Facebook. You can reach out to a larger group. Be intentional about it. The point isn't just to have dinner together, but do something and bring people into this work, because it's going to need all of us, and it's going to need all of us doing it in the ways that feel right to us and in ways that are sustainable for a few years.
Beautiful, Pete. Thanks.
Thanks, Pete.
We'll get you in studio soon. And
great.
Let me know the next meeting is. I'll try to make it down.
Well, our state team is meeting on Wednesday. I'm not going to give the address over the air, but anyone can email indivisiblebrooklyn@gmail.com for information about that. And as I said, I'd love to have you and anyone listening get involved.
Cool. All right. Thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
There it is.
Take care.
There it is. All right.
There
we
it
got
is.
10 seconds left.
See, I wasn't going to talk while that guy was talking. He's going to NYU
You're
with
the worst.
A law degree.
I can't talk to you.
I can't compete with that.
No.
I got a theater degree.
All right, good later. Show.